In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Monday, July 12, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I am live back in the studio after a week's vacation, and my thanks to Scott Carr, my colleague here at Federal News Radio, for putting together the programs that you heard all throughout the week last week. And if you heard something you want to hear again, it's all available at the in-depth page at federalnewsradio.com. Right now, as I walk back into the studio today and get settled again at Federal News Radio, you are hearing and seeing on our website information about our Cool Jobs series. During the week of July 12th, all week long, we're uncovering and highlighting some of the most interesting and unorthodox way that you and your colleagues spend your days. During our week-long series, Cool Jobs in Government, this afternoon on the Dorbeck Insider, you'll meet a member of the National Archives, a person that works there named Kitty Nicholson. She will be talking to Chris about some of the pretty wild things that she does at her job. This morning on the Federal Drive, you heard from Chris Harris, who's a dolphin trainer for the U.S. Navy. The Navy uses dolphins' natural sonar to help it locate underwater objects like sea mines. And you can hear that conversation at federalnewsradio.com. Just search on Cool Jobs in the search box in the upper right-hand corner of our website. All week long, we'll be putting our resources on the Cool Jobs in Government page so you can see the conversations as they're written up and listen to them as they are spoken on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Terry McCaffrey is a manager for stamp development at the Postal Service. He's my guest on our Cool Jobs series to talk about his job at the Postal Service. And Mr. McCaffrey, thank you very much for being with me today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being asked to be on the show.
What specifically is your involvement with the stamps that come down the line?
Well, I'm involved right from the very start. Our office, my staff receives an average of 50,000 letters from the American public every year. And most of them are asking for stamps for their great-grandfather or for some organization or from some event. And it's our task to sort through them, and any of the stamps that don't meet criteria are then pulled out of the system. But anything that does meet criteria is then taken to our Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee, which is the Postmaster General's personal committee to review new subjects and approve designs. So I oversee that committee as well, and they meet on a quarterly basis. They choose the subjects with my support, and then we do the designs, and I have four art directors that work for me, and I'm an art director also, so there's really five of us doing the work. And we then come up with the designs or the illustrations, working with some of the leading illustrators. And then we take it back to the committee, and they approve it. And then it's taken to the Postmaster General, and he approves it. Typical bureaucratic process where there's multiple layers of approvals there. And in the end, we come out with a new program every year. So I'm very involved in it.
When you're looking at something for, say, an anniversary of someone's birth or something like that, how far ahead are you working to get that stamp ready to be released in a timely manner?
Well, our normal turnaround time is 2 to 3 years. And if someone does pass away, a recent star or a famous person, we don't talk about them in committee for 2 years. We let 2 years pass to make sure that they're going to withstand that test of time. And after those 2 years, then we can start talking about it and saying, well, there's an anniversary coming up or whatever. Let's start planning. So the average turnaround time is 2 to 3 years.
What makes a submission from a citizen or from an advocacy group really stand out to make you and your team go, wow, yeah, we should do this?
Well, I think it's not so much the volumes of paperwork they submit, and some do submit reams of paperwork. It's the essence of what it's all about and what that person or that event is all about and how national it is in scope. So it sort of sells itself in a very succinct way without going into a lot of details of why this person was so famous or so great.
So it's the old case of can't be defined, but you know it when you see it, right?
Exactly.
All right. As you review these every year, not only the people but the subjects, what are some of the things that have proven to be popular that maybe you didn't expect to be popular?
I would say one would be Lewis and Clark. When we did their, we knew that there would be from a historical standpoint. But we weren't quite ready for that one, and we sold out all 100 million stamps in a matter of weeks. And that, of course, was a two-year expedition, so we had hoped to have stamps out there for that two-year period, but the American public fooled us and ended up buying them all up right away. So that was one good example where we didn't expect quite that interest level.
Do you ever go back in that kind of a case and do another run?
No, we don't. That's one of the things about commemorative stamps is we do a one-time press run, and that makes the collectability out of it. So there are times we would love to do that, but we try to stick by those rules and only do it once.
And when you mention the collectability of some of the stamps that you put out, there's kind of, it seems to me, two schools of thought. There's the customer who goes into the Postal Service and just wants something interesting to put on his or her letter. And then there's the moderate to hardcore collector who's going to go and, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean any disrespect to the collectors out there, but they're going to hoard something. It's not
right.
To be used.
Right.
Is there a thought about appealing to each of those two schools of thought when you're deciding what subjects to put on?
Most definitely. In fact, as we develop the program, we have a category called the collectible, which is for the serious collector, and then we have the mail use, which is for the person, as you say, that just walks in the post office and says, give me a stamp.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those two different categories, but we're trying to blend them more and more each year to get more of the commemoratives into the mail use program and vice versa. So for many years, the mail use stamps were primarily just flag stamps and single color engraved portraits of people. But now we're expanding that and doing more creative things with it and making it more attractive. And we're also trying to position our collectibles to the average person so that, hey, this is a collectible and it's not just something that you need to hoard and hide away for your collection, but you can certainly use it on your mail. So we're trying to bridge that gap.
Terry McCaffrey is manager for stamp development at the U.S. Postal Service. My guest is part of our Cool Jobs series, and you can find all of our Cool Jobs and Government series subjects at federalnewsradio.com. Just search on Cool Jobs in the search box in the upper right-hand part of the website. More with Mr. McCaffrey when In-Depth continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Are you in trouble with debt? Well, guess what? So are the big banks you owe money to. The only difference is they've got taxpayers bailing them out. Want to hear other little-known secrets the big banks and credit card companies don't want you to know? Information you can use to begin freeing yourself from that load of debt? We're Debt OK, and we've got free information about a program those banks don't want you to hear that can help you get free of your debts faster than you thought possible. And right now, we'll tell you for free. That's right, free information that could set you free. Call 1-800-900-0567. Those big banks have mastered the tricks to keeping you trapped in debt. Time to turn the tables to get out of debt once and for all. See just how easy it can be to change your life. For this confidential free information, you must call now. Turn the tables on the banks today. Call 1-800-900-0567. 1-800-900-0567. 1-800-900-0567.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Monday edition of the Dorabeck Insider. Imagine actually touching the U.S. Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. In our week-long series, Cool Jobs in Government, we'll introduce you to a National Archives conservator who's actually seen those documents up close. And how's your TSP been performing? We'll find out from Tom Trabucco of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. All that and more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's our Cool Jobs in Government series. And in just a moment, more of my conversation with Terry McCaffrey, Manager for Stamp Development at the Postal Service. Want to remind you, you can find all of our Cool Jobs resources at federalnewsradio.com. Just search on Cool Jobs. Later on in this hour, you'll hear from Vice Admiral Carl Mawney. He was in Washington last week talking about cybersecurity. He's one of the top officers at U.S. Cyber Command, and you'll hear from him in later on in this hour and into hour number two of the program, and then more on the line of succession at CENTCOM at the Pentagon from Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Joint Chiefs Chair Admiral Mike Mullen. That's in hour number two of In-Depth today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now more of my conversation with Terry McCaffrey, Manager for Stamp Development at the U.S. Postal Service, as part of our Cool Jobs in Government series. As the Postal Service has some financial challenges that I'm sure you're aware of, is there a temptation or a wish to maybe move to those kinds of things? Because, you know, if I pay X dollars for a souvenir page or whatever, there doesn't have to be any work done by, you know, doesn't have to be delivered to somebody and so on and so forth. Is there an appeal there to create some interesting things that will help go to the bottom line?
Oh, most definitely. We're looking for subjects and designs that will appeal to a lot of people, and that people may want to use them on their mail, but also they'll retain a certain amount of them for their collection. Like, wow, this is really a cool looking stamp. I'll hang on to a couple of these. Or if there is a subject like, I always refer back to Elvis Presley. He has all of his fans out there. So people are going to save some of those stamps and they're going to use them on the mail as well. So yeah, that is one definite focus as we develop stamps, to make sure that we appeal to everybody.
If somebody followed you around for the day just to see what happens in a normal day, what's something that you do on a fairly regular basis that somebody would say, I would have never thought of that in a million years?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I would say they'd be surprised how much legwork or research goes into developing stamps. For instance, when we design a stamp, we have a whole research team, a private company that's under contract to us called PhotoAssist. And they not only will do the initial visual research for the artist to work from, but once it's over and we have a final painting, then we send it back out to leading experts on that subject matter and have them review it and get back to us and say, no, the eye color is wrong, or the hair color is wrong, or so on and so forth. They even count buttons on coats, different times of day when a scene would take place, like in the Civil War, we had the Battle of the Monitor in the Virginia, or some people refer to it as Merrimack. We went back to experts to find out how many clouds were in the sky that day. Was it a cloudy day? Was it a clear day? So it's that level of expertise. So I get involved in that a lot, of making sure things are correct on stamps.
Do you collect stamps yourself?
No, I don't, because it'd be really a conflict of interest, because then I'd be seen as creating stamps for my own collection. But I do have certain stamps that I've retained because of their unique nature, or ones that I've personally designed, or when someone writes to me and sends me a nice note, such as Sarah Karloff when we did the Boris Karloff stamps, the Frankenstein mummy stamps. Mm-hmm. She wrote a very nice story. So I retained stamps like that, but not a regular collection.
I would imagine at your level of involvement, there are some of these that become like children that you have a hard time letting go after a while.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because that's exactly what I say when I give talks on a regular basis. They will ask, well, what's your favorite stamp? And I say, I really don't like to say that because I consider them all my children and I'd want to play favorites. So I normally decline that sort of thing.